welcome everybody to the UFC 220 media conference call. UFC 220 takes place Saturday, January 20th from TD Garden in Boston. The event airs live on pay-per-view. On today's call, please welcome the four athletes competing in the title fights at UFC 220, heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic, challenger and number one contender Francis Ngannou, light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier, and challenger and number two ranked contender Volkan Ozdemir. And with that, Shannon, we can go ahead and open up the questions.
Hey, guys, first question for Stipe. Stipe, I saw the announcement today that you have actually landed an endorsement with Modelo, which is the new beer sponsor for the UFC. You're the first athlete on their roster. What does that mean to you to land such a big endorsement, especially, you know, ahead of a big fight like this?
Oh, it's amazing. First off, I like their beer. It tastes amazing. So that's always a good thing. But just what they're all about. You know, we work well together already. I mean, they're amazing people. They got that fighting spirit just like I do. And,
you know, if it's
perfect, and I'm just excited to be part of the team.
With this fight, Stipe, obviously there's been a lot of attention on Francis Ngannou. You are the heavyweight champion, though. I mean, do you feel like some of the pressure's off of you, though, because of the hype surrounding him, because there is so much talk about Francis?
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen, you know, big guy, it's hard. I mean, just like every heavyweight, you know, but we'll not talk about him. I don't care. I mean, listen, I don't need to have a hoopla about me. So keep winning.
You've obviously won fights, a lot of different ways throughout your career. We know Francis is best for his knockout power. Do you feel like in a lot of ways you can pick your shots in this fight, that you could, you know, if you want to take it to the ground, you can take it to the ground. If you want to keep it standing, like, do you feel like you can dictate the pace in this fight?
Oh, I understand. You know, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to have a great game plan walking in. I'm going to execute the game plan and walk out here.
And last question for you, Stipe. You know, this fight, in terms of heavyweight division, you know, people are saying, and myself included, that this is the biggest heavyweight fight, you know, since maybe Cain Velasquez fought Junior Dos Santos on that first ever Fox card back in 2011. I know you don't pay too much attention to that kind of stuff, but, I mean, do you feel that? Is there some excitement that, you know, there is so much attention around this fight?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's great. You know, it's what the sport loves. The fans want, and if it wasn't for the fans, you know, we wouldn't be here right now. So I'm just happy the fans have something to be happy about.
Awesome. And for Francis, you know, Francis, obviously everyone knows your incredible knockout power. But how confident are you in other aspects of your game when it comes to your wrestling, your conditioning, and things like that? You know, going against a guy like Stipe, who is so well rounded.
Yes, but he's a well rounded. But I'm more confident because. You know, for the beginning, I had doubt about my wrestling, my conditioning. But today, I've been training with the best wrestler and trying my conditioning and keep improving. And today, I know that I improve in all that other steps. So I'm also the well-rounded and completely MMA fighter. So. I'm not just focused about the knockout power or something like that. For this fight, I pretend to be the complete MMA fighter. Yes, and that's what I'm looking. That's why I'm gonna be the champ. You know, you're not going to fight someone as Stipe who be a good wrestler just because you have a knockout power. No, we see a lot of people. Fought maybe Stipe or some guy who has a knockout power but lost the fight because knockout power is not enough to win the fight. We see Stipe fought. I saw the fight against Stipe and Markkant, and Markkant have a great knockout power, but the way that the bringing in the Stipe. Brought it in the deep water, and he wasn't able to go back to that. So that is kind of stuff that I be training about and try to gonna avoid it, and I'm able to do it.
And you know, Francis, you know, coming off such a big knockout over Alistair Overeem, you obviously earned the title shot. But was there any part of you that felt like this maybe came together a little too soon, or were you happy, you know, to turn around and fight? You know, basically at this point, it's about, you know, not even eight weeks later, you're fighting again.
No, he wasn't soon. It's not soon because you know, I wasn't prepared about this. Even for my training camp against Alistair Overeem, I couldn't avoid myself to think about both guys. So I was there preparing myself, trying to train for three rounds, five-minute fight, but also five rounds, because I knew that the fight against Alistair is going to give me Stipe, and he might going to be right away. So just try to, just hope to be injury-free, and then get ready for the next opportunity, because I knew that they might probably going to give some fight to Stipe very soon. So I just stay around.
And Francis, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, there's a lot of hype around you going into this fight, and obviously you've earned a lot of that, but do you feel that pressure? I mean, do you feel like there's a lot of pressure on you to win this fight, considering you are the favorite, you know, going against a guy who is, you know, about to fight in a fight that, you know, where he could be the longest reigning heavyweight champion in history? I mean, do you feel that pressure? Do you embrace that pressure?
Yes, I do embrace it, but I think I had pressure for my last fight against Alistair than this one, because I, as I said before, I couldn't avoid to thought about this, to think about this two fights. So I had that pressure for two fights, and now it's only the one for one fight, and I'm more confident. I know that I have a skill. I have everything to win this fight. So there are no way to get pressure. And, you know, it's something that I dreamed about my whole life. I've been prepared for that. And then today I get my mind set for that. And we're going to do it on January 20th.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for taking the time. My first couple of questions go to Stipe. Firstly, Stipe, you know, the narrative around this fight is about Ngannou's power. So, you know, what do you think about the narrative being about, you know, Ngannou's power? And the second thing is, even Dana made some rather flattering remarks during the press conference. Do you think people are just pushing the narrative too much going into the fight?
No, I mean, he's a big guy. He's hard. I mean, just like every heavyweight. Yeah, I mean, you guys. Punch measure, I guess. I never saw it, but, you know, surely it's hard. I mean, in the heavyweight division, I think everyone hits hard. So, no, you know, I'm definitely going to watch out for that. You know, I don't want to get hit with anything I want to get hit with, and, you know, do my thing.
Right, and you've dominated the likes of Werdum, Overeem, and JDS, which makes, you know, the odds even that much more surprising. So, do you think the fans and critics kind of forget those wins too soon?
Yeah, honestly, I don't care. If they forgot about him or think about him, I really don't care. My main, the only thing I think about is the 20th, you know, and walking out Ansa, which I will. You know, I'm going to stay champ, break this record, and keep winning.
Right, and you've also talked about how UFC was pushing Ngannou, and you said they kind of hope that, you know, Ngannou beats you. Does that play any factor going into the fight? I mean, does that, you know, make you want to prove a point going into the fight against Ngannou?
No, I'm going to win, so it's going to prove the point. So I really don't care. He's a great fighter. He's super tough, you know, and he's fought some really good guys. But, you know, unfortunately, he hasn't faced anyone like me yet.
All right, next couple of questions for Francis. Francis, 4 years ago, you started from nothing, you know, when you joined MMA, when you started doing MMA. Looking back, you're fighting for the title on January 20th. So looking back, what are your thoughts on how far you've come along?
My thought is the thought of, you know, that kid that always dream about something, always live with his dream. When he go to sleep tonight, he keeps his dream next to him, grew up with it, and today he is approaching the dream. He's on his way to make that dream become true. So it's just something. It's, for me, it's some way to close the chapter of my childhood, to close the chapter of my teenager. You know, it wasn't easy. It was a tough life, and then I didn't have an opportunity to finish with it. But I'm gonna finish with it on January 20th by beating Stipe Miocic and take the UFC title.
Yeah, sorry. The surprising thing is, you said there was more pressure on you for the Overeem fight than this fight. So considering that, how important do you think the victory over Overeem was for you?
He was more important, you know, and then, I mean, he was very important, but he was someone who was going to drive me on this fight. So I, at the time, I had two opponents in my mind before get the UFC the UFC belt, but now I have only one, so it's different.
Right, and you know you have a solid grappling base as well, and people seem to forget that you have four submission wins in your pro MMA career. Do you think that's the case where people underestimate your grappling?
Doesn't matter what people think. I'm an opportunity guy. That is what I'm saying. Always looking forward to take the first opportunity that my opponent gives me. So I'm not there to do the demonstration to show how I can grab, how I can wrestle. I'm there to win the fight, and doesn't matter where the fight goes, I'm gonna win. So I know but I also keep training as MMA fighter to be a complete MMA fighter. I don't care about what people think. The day that I'm going to need to prove, I'm going to need to use my grappling game, they're going to see it. The day that I'm going to need to use my wrestle, they're going to see it. But as long as I keep winning like this, it's okay with. I'm okay with that.
All right, thank you, Francis. Final couple of questions for Daniel Cormier. Daniel, you've previously said that you need to win convincingly in order to kind of erase the memories of your fight with John Jones. Is that still the case for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my career is so closely tied to those fights that I do need to win in dominant fashion. More so this time because of what happened in the last fight. But my goal is always to go out and dominate, and that's what I've done for the vast majority of my career. So nothing's really changed. The only pressure comes from what I'm putting on myself because of the way the last fight ended.
Right, and, you know, Volkan, much like Ngannou, had a breakout year in 2017. You've taken punches from someone like Rumble. Do you think the fans give too much respect to the power punches?
I think people fall in love with power punches, and it's, I believe it's just because they're exciting, right? They finish the fight. They finish fights in no time. You know, you could be the fight going and all of a sudden it's over. You know, you got guys like Rumble that was just knocking everybody out. You got guys that like Volkan, and you know, they just knock everybody out, so people fall in love with them. But it's not just about punching hard. This game is about much more. It's about what you have up top mentally, all around mixed martial arts game, experience. I always say, whether I'm at the commentary booth, host table or something, or just on these calls, that there are levels to this game. And when a person isn't on the level, they get exposed very quickly. And I think that Volkan's a fantastic fighter. I believe he believes in himself and believes in his power. But to beat me, just being a powerful guy ain't going to be enough.
Right, and final question for you. The one cloud that keeps, you know, hanging over your head is obviously your fight with John Jones. Going to the fight, you know, we've recently even heard about, you know, speculations regarding when John is going to return. Does that play any factor going into the fight for you?
No, I don't really worry too much about anything but the person that's in front of me. Volkan Ozdemir, I respect enough to focus on him entirely. I respect him enough to focus entirely on him and him be my obsession. You know, I'm obsessed with this young man right now, obsessed with coming up with a game plan and a fight strategy to go out there and beat him convincingly. So, yeah, I don't worry too much about Jones right now. He's ineligible, as he was for the last couple of years before the last fight.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate the time, and all the very best for the upcoming fights.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, Francis, this question is for you. After you beat Overeem, you told post-fight show, you called, you said Stipe was the interim champion, and that, you know, he was just holding the belt. Do you regret making that statement, or do you really think that he's not a legitimate champion?
Yeah, I mean, I said he was interim champion because I wasn't there. because I'm the real champion for this division. I'm the guy that's going to change the heavyweight division. I started to beat Stipe on January 20th and bring more excitement for heavyweight division, who was for a long time almost forgotten.
You sound very confident. I'm wondering why do you feel so confident when you know Stipe has been very dominant in his last three fights against some legendary fighters, you know, first round knockout. Can you talk about your confidence level and where it is right now?
That doesn't mean nothing for me. I know what the matter is. This, I know what Stipe is able to do. Almost everyone know what Stipe is almost to do. But the scary thing is this: no one doesn't know really what I'm able to do. They just see like I go there for like 1 minute and then I win the fight, but they really don't have an idea for what I can do. So that's why I feel confident. I'm confident because I know what is I can see the limit of Stipe, but no one can tell my limit. They will always say, yes, can Ngannou do this? Can Ngannou do that? Can Ngannou do this? But when they're going to see something different from Ngannou, he's going to still be like, wow. You know, I get a lot of stuff to bring them some more wow.
Speaking of that, I mean, no one has seen you go past round one. If you do get into one of these kind of these all-out wars, you know, we see so few of these heavyweight wars that go into the second, third, even the fourth round. You know, can you speak on your confidence if this thing goes to third and fourth round? And, you know, you've never been pushed to that level in a heavyweight bout. How do you see your conditioning? How do you see your confidence in that respect?
I've never been in that level, but I always train for that level. When I go to my training camp, my training camp, my conditioning, everything, I be prepared for the regular fight, for the regular round fight. So even the fight against Alistair Overeem, I was already prepared for five round fight because I knew that I'm gonna have Stipe after that. So that is the problem, because people always want to believe what they see, and I think he's gonna be a long time before they really see that, because on January 20th, I don't see myself go third round, fourth round. No, I'm not gonna do that. I just gotta finish Stipe on that two round.
Hey, it's the last thing, Francis. You know, you fight about a month ago. I'm sure you went through a really hard camp. What did you do in the last month? Did you scale back a lot with, you know, your work, or did you have to take a long break after that fight? I mean, can you speak about kind of, you know, what you did in terms of your workout level?
No, I didn't take a break after that fight. I just try to maintain, you know, that training camp that I did for Alistair Overeem, and I just try to maintain it and then keep working more technical stuff and keep myself in shape. So that's what I've been doing for these few weeks.
Thanks, Francis. Hey, Stipe, just a couple for you. You know, your reaction when I'm sure you saw the comments when he called you the interim champion, just holding the belt for you. And I mean, can you just give me a reaction when you heard that?
I guess I mean, three things. I mean, sure. I mean, we'll find out Saturday, so I ain't worried about it.
Were you upset?
No, okay. Everyone knows I push hard buttons in my life, so I'm good.
Hey, Stipe, you know, you're 35 years old, and I'm just wondering how much longer you want to keep fighting.
You know, I don't know. I'm doing well. I'm not going to hit too much. Hopefully it stays that way, and you know, we'll see how much longer I'll go. I'm just going to keep training, keep getting better, and keep winning.
And I asked Francis about if this thing goes into third, fourth, fifth round. You know, you went through a war with JDS a few years ago, and I know you said it's not a pleasant experience when you get to that third, fourth, fifth round. And he talks about how he's confident. But is there something to be said until you actually can go through something like that, if it gets to that point, without doing it? Is it hard to understand what it means to go through that tough type of a fight like that, 4 or 5 rounder?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a grind, man. You're not used to it. Once you get there, it sucks. But, you know, we'll find out on the 20th, you know. He's a tough guy, but, you know, like I said, he hasn't seen anything like me yet.
Hey, Daniel, I got one for you. I know you spent some time with Stipe in Cleveland. I'm wondering what that experience was like. I mean, you probably got to know him better than maybe you had in the past. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, to go there and be in his environment and kind of take in the feel of the city, right? Cleveland's such a big sports city. And walking around with Stipe, you saw that he's not only a fighter anymore, he's almost like another major league sports team in that city because people just recognize him. And they love what he brings to the city of Cleveland. Stipe, he's a fantastic guy, a great champion, does things in the community that a lot of people don't even know. And it was great to spend the day with him and learn more about Stipe and kind of dig into his mentality. You know, I was, from when we were filming to when we were driving and sometimes not on camera, just kind of really trying to get into his mindset and his mentality as he was preparing for the next few challenges in his heavyweight title reign. And what I learned was that this is a man that truly believes that he's the baddest man on the planet. So when I listen to him and Francis talk, and Francis has a lot of conviction in his speak because he believes that he's going to go out there and dominate, as I've spent time with Francis too. But I know, even though Stipe doesn't say it, in his mind he feels the same exact way. Because he said it off camera to me. He said it on camera. And he believes he's going to dominate this fight. You know, right before I left, Stipe said they could put King Kong in there with me and I'll beat him to become the most successful heavyweight champ of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if there's anybody that's been as scary as a huge, power-punching, dominant force like that, it would be Francis Ngannou. So he kind of got the toughest situation for him, and I don't believe that he would have it any other way. So I learned more about his mentality. His mentality tells me that on January 20th, there's going to be a barn burner between him and Francis.
Last thing, Daniel, you know, being a champion, do you sort of have to get used to that moniker? And I'm wondering, do you feel like a guy like Stipe has kind of grown into that, you know, that pressure, you know, there's pressure being a champion. I'm sure you know that. And in terms of growing into that, you know, responsibility, I guess, so to speak.
There is responsibility. The responsibility comes when you're successful, right? People don't, when there's expectation, there is no expectation without success. So in order to be in a situation where there's pressure, where there's responsibility, where there's expectation, you have to be successful. And with the success comes expectation. You got to really turn into it. You can't run away from it. And I do believe that he's grown into the expectation. He's turning into the expectation. He's looking into the expectation. The idea that he's the baddest man on the planet. He said he does not need monikers. You know, he does not need to be called the baddest man on the planet. But I think even though it's not spoken, he does believe that he's the baddest man. But Stipe never really had any issues. You know, it's not like he truly needed to grow much in order to carry the flag of the UFC Heavyweight Championship. He just had to get the belt. And he did that, and I think he's done a phenomenal job of representing the organization, himself, and his family in the best way possible.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
My first one is for Volkan. What does it mean to you? What's your response when you hear Daniel Cormier say that he respects you, that he is obsessed with you, but also that you are not on his level?
I mean, it's good because I can see that he cares about it. He cares about the fight, and the only thing I want from him is to bring his best game, to bring his top game, because this is the fight to determine who's going to be the champion of the world. So what I want to have, you know, facing me is the best Daniel and the best fighter in the world right now. So that's the one I want to beat. But also the difference is I'm the new level. So we're going to find out next Saturday.
And I know when we spoke in the summer, you had said that your goal was to become the fastest UFC champion in history. You're getting this opportunity. It'll be just short of a year since your UFC debut. What would it mean to to actually accomplish that. Having the goal is one thing, but making it happen is another one. Can you put into words what that would be like for you?
It's a process. So that was my number one goal since I signed with the UFC, to be the fastest rising to the belt. And now it's just about grabbing it, accomplishing that goal. And there is only one step left, and it's to knock out Daniel Cormier.
And now one for Daniel, if I could. DC, you mentioned earlier that you feel added pressure going into this because of how the last fight with John went. It seems like here we are again, another year, another title defense coming up, and those same questions. Do you feel a responsibility or a desire to kind of really make a point and make a statement this year defending this belt?
I think that's always the goal, right? Like, I mean, from every time I've stepped into the octagon, I feel like I need to make a statement. There's like a certain thing to me that for some reason people see these guys as true threats to me, and that they can just beat me, you know. And it's always fun to go out and prove people wrong. I mean, in the fights with Anthony Johnson, both times I went in there as the underdog because he knocked some guys out. That shouldn't warrant a person being favored to win a fight because they can knock somebody out. You know, you got to look at a guy's entire body of work, you know. So when I went into the last fight as the underdog, even though I was the champion, that's fine. I get it. Because when you look at Jones's body of work, you see a guy that can compete and win at the highest levels. But when I look at guys like Anthony Johnson and Volkan Ozdemir and those guys, it's people to think that they're going to just beat me. To me, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I really do feel pressure because I want pressure, but I just like really making people kind of go, well, I guess he wasn't the guy that was going to knock DC out. That's always fun to me. Kind of just stick it to people.
Is there any way for you to not escape John's shadow, but to move on past that rivalry and really solidify your standing? Or is that always going to be the little asterisk that you have to deal with?
That's just me. That's my cross to bear, right? I didn't get the job done. If I would have won those fights, then it wouldn't have mattered all those out of the octagon issues. Because I lost, I've got to carry that burden. That's for me to carry. I can't look to escape that, and I'm not trying to. All I do is try to make that motivate me to be better today than I was July 29th, April 10th when I fought Anthony or whatever. And every other day I fought, you know, every battle, every fight, every high-level competition I've been in has to make me better. And I think they do, you know. So I lost that fight on July 29th, but I thought I was the best fighter that I've ever been when I stepped to that octagon. And the guy that stepped into the octagon on July 29th could not lose a mixed martial arts competition of Volkan Ozdemir. It's just the truth.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. First question for Daniel. Is there any concern at all that, you know, the legal issues going on with Volkan Ozdemir could be a distraction for him, and that could come into play for discussion after the fight?
But that's on him, right? Like, if everything goes according to my plan, what does it matter to me if after I beat him, if he goes to jail? That doesn't affect me. Why should I worry about the issues that this guy has gotten himself into? This has nothing to do with me. All I cared about was that whenever he went to court the other day, they said he could go fight. He can go fight. So now my issues, my worry, my concern, my care in regards to his legal issues are out the window, because everything that's going to happen to him after is past January 20th. I just need to be in Boston January 20th. He's going to be there, so I could care less what happens to him afterwards.
Volkan, on your part, has this been a problem for you? Because, I mean, this is the biggest fight of your career. It's the UFC title opportunity. I mean, these don't come along every day. So has this been a big distraction for you going into the fight?
Not at all. I'm not even taking care of that business. But the only thing I'm doing right now is training and being ready for that fight. So my lawyer is taking care of all the legal stuff, so nothing goes through me. And I'm just getting ready for the fight, and I'm really confident because of you know what I know I did, and so it's all good. So the only my priority and the only things I focus on right now is the fight.
Next question for Stipe. There's been a lot of discussion about Francis Ngannou and his knockout power and his punching power, but, I mean, I'm going down the list of your resume, and your last four fights you won by knockout in the first round. So do you think people are maybe possibly overlooking your punching power and the fact that you could possibly knock someone out in the first round? Because not only have you knocked out four people in a row in the first round, three of those people were UFC champions or former champions.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a lot of those guys just ran into my fist. You know, I mean, I always hit the heart. I think it was more of those guys running into my fist and them falling. So, you know, I think it was a lot of that. You know, I really don't care if he has the power or not. You know, he does have power. You know, good for him. I mean, as he should, he's a heavyweight. But, I mean, you're going to find out if I got power in a twin, which he will.
I mean, in studying Francis Ngannou, Stipe, have you noticed any flaws or holes in his game that you and your team think he can exploit? I mean, exploit?
Definitely. I mean, listen, everyone has holes. Everyone has holes in his game that you can exploit. It's just, you know, it's, which I will. You know, I have holes in my game, too. I mean, you know, it's perfect. That's what we work for. But, yeah, there's definitely holes in his game, and I'm definitely going to show him. He's never going to come out on the 20th.
And last question for Francis. For your part, have you noticed any holes or flaws in Stipe's game that you and your team have been studying a lot going into this fight? Thank you,
everyone. Please, can you repeat your question?
I'm sorry, Francis. My question was if you and your team have noticed any flaws or holes in Stipe's game that you've been studying and working on to prepare for this fight.
Of course, we do have a game plan. We do work about a lot of stuff to make this fight clear and easy for us.
That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back to Chris Costello for closing remarks.
I want to thank everybody for joining us for today's call. Again, apologies for starting a little bit late today. UFC 220 activities will kick off Wednesday evening in Boston with open workouts. The detailed schedule of events will be distributed tomorrow. And a reminder, this Sunday is UFC Fight Night, Stevens versus Choi from Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, live on FS1. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.